Let's take our Bibles in this session and go to Matthew chapter 16. We saw in our previous session the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, his death, which occurred on the 14th of Nisan. Jesus Christ died right at the time that was prescribed in the law of Moses for the Passover lamb to be killed. The 14th of Nisan, between the evenings, was exactly when Jesus Christ died. It corresponded to approximately our 3 p.m. on Wednesday afternoon. Now, Jesus Christ had known for many months that he would need to die for the sins of mankind. God had certainly instructed him, something that he would have learned of during his youth because of his study of the scriptures. But more of the specifics of what he would go through were revealed to him as the time approached. And also Jesus Christ revealed those specifics to his disciples. He taught them well. One of the things that is often overlooked about the life of Jesus Christ was that he was a teacher. That was his predominant activity, was that he was teaching God's word to his people. And a wonderful example of that is in Matthew chapter 16, where it says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto," where? "Jerusalem, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." Now this is quite a bit of time before these events actually occurred. But Jesus began to show unto his disciples about him needing to go to Jerusalem, that he would suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, which we've been studying, how he was tortured for almost 40 hours before they ever hung him on Calvary's tree. And then it says, and be killed, and he would die, which he died at the time that they would have been sacrificing the Passover lamb, because he is the true Passover, and then be raised again the third day. After being interned in the earth for 72 hours, 3 days and three nights, then he would be raised again that third day, which we know to be Saturday afternoon, the time of his resurrection. Look at how specific Jesus Christ is and what he's teaching to his disciples. Now, one thing that's very clear is that for the most part, his disciples did not understand it. They didn't get it. Perhaps they were influenced by the thought that Jesus Christ was going to be a political deliverer. Certainly some of this was things that they didn't want to see happen. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't want to see him suffer. They didn't want to see him be killed. In fact, if we keep reading here in Matthew chapter 16, look at Peter's response to this teaching. Now, Jesus Christ is teaching them. He's going to go to Jerusalem, going to suffer many things of the religious leaders. He's going to be killed and raised again the third day. Let's see how Peter received this teaching. "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." Boy, I don't know how many of you ever teach the Bible, but you know, usually when you teach the Bible, this is not the kind of response you want to get from a student. You know, somebody comes up and says, oh, they start rebuking you. You know, "Lord, this shall not be unto thee." "But he turned and he said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of who? Men. What a record. Peter attempts to rebuke the Lord. Well, and then the Lord rebukes Satan when he addresses Peter, because Satan had so influenced Peter's mind as that he thought that Jesus Christ was wrong. Well, he wasn't wrong. He did need to go into Jerusalem. He did suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and they did kill him. He was killed. And the third day, on what is our Saturday afternoon, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Quite a record. This is really a very key point in the Gospels, is when Jesus Christ starts teaching about his impending sufferings, about his death. He taught this well to his disciples. But as we see from the response of Peter, they didn't really get it. You know, they didn't really believe it. They didn't really anticipate it. But there was a very notable exception to this pattern of unbelief that was amongst his disciples. And that's our topic for this particular session. A man mentioned in all four of the Gospels named Joseph of Arimathea. Look at Matthew chapter 27. Are not the most critical events of all human history these that we're looking at? Christ's sufferings, his crucifixion and death. Then after 3 days and three nights interned in the earth, God raising him on that third day. This is what all of history, and when we use the word history in this context, we could think of it as his story. This is what his story revolves around, what history revolves around. And now, coming center stage, right at the time that Jesus Christ has died, is a wonderful man named Joseph of Arimathea. It says in verse 57, when the even was come, this is that period between the evenings, the later afternoon on Wednesday, when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. Got a lot of information here in one verse of scripture about this man, Joseph. Well, first of all, it tells us where he's from, Arimathea. He was a rich man, and he was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. Okay, now where are we at? This is after 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Jesus Christ has died. He has given up the ghost. He's paid the price for our redemption. His lifeless corpse is still hanging on Calvary's tree. So Joseph of Arimathea begs the body of Jesus from Pontius Pilate, and Pilate commands the body to be delivered to Joseph. And when Joseph, verse 59, had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now, this that Joseph did is very unique when you consider the customs in the land and times of the Bible. Did Joseph of Arimathea give Jesus Christ a normal, proper burial? The answer is no, because what he did was he simply took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. This is not talking about the grave wrappings, the things that would mummy, you know, turn the body into a mummy, like was normative at that time. This isn't talking about anointing the body with oils and spices, which would have been normative at the time. What Joseph of Arimathea did was he simply wrapped the body in a clean linen cloth, and then he laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewed out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. Now, this tells us two very, very critical things about Joseph of Arimathea. First of all, he was the one that had this sepulcher made. It was a new tomb. When it says he had hewn it out of a rock, it doesn't necessarily mean that he did all the chiseling by himself, but he was a rich man. He would have had servants that would have assisted him, but he was the one that was responsible for this tomb, which was in proximity of where Jesus Christ was crucified. Do you see in this his anticipation of the crucifixion? Remember, he was Jesus' disciple. He was prepared when Jesus died to go beg the body from Pontius Pilate, and he was prepared to bury Jesus Christ in a tomb that he had prepared specifically for that purpose. Boy, you know what? Joseph of Arimathea believed Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ said he was going to be killed, that he was going to suffer and be killed. He believed that teaching, and he took believing action upon that in making this sepulcher. Now, the other thing that's very apparent is that Joseph of Arimathea didn't anticipate that Jesus Christ was going to stay dead. And how do we see that? Because he wrapped the body of Jesus Christ in a simple, clean linen cloth. He didn't give it the proper burial that the others, as we'll see, wanted to give it. And the others, mentioned verse 61, it says, "And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher." You know, these women saw how Joseph had buried Jesus Christ and how he had treated the body. Because they saw that he had just wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, they then go and make preparation to give it a proper burial. They didn't think he did the right job. But Joseph of Arimathea was anticipating the events that Jesus Christ had been teaching. He was anticipating his death, and he had a sepulcher hewed out for that. He was anticipating the resurrection, so he didn't give him all big proper burial and wrapping it in, you know, grave clothes, anointing it with spices and oils, because he anticipated Jesus Christ would get up from the dead the third day. What a man. You know, boy, this guy. Now, he's mentioned in all four of the Gospels, here in Matthew, very prominently. But before we look at the other three, let's remember that it said in verse 57 that Joseph of Arimathea was a rich man. Well, keep your finger in the Gospels. We're coming back to the Gospels. But look at Isaiah chapter 53 for a second. Isaiah 52 and 53 is this incredible, detailed prophecy of the sufferings of Christ, also of his burial and of his resurrection. But look what it says. In verse 8, it says, "He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken." What's verse 8 talking about? Jesus Christ's death. Him paying the price for the transgressions of God's people. That he died. He was cut out of the land of the living. Verse 9, "And he made his grave with" who? The wicked. You know, he was crucified, remember, between four others, between two malefactors and two robbers. He made his grave with the wicked. And then it goes on to say, and he made his grave with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. You know, verse 9 would seemingly on the surface be a contradiction. How are you going to make your grave with the wicked and the rich? Well, it's exactly what Joseph of Arimathea fulfilled, because he was a rich man. Jesus Christ's grave, his sepulcher, was hewed out at Joseph of Arimathea's expense and Joseph of Arimathea's direction. So Jesus Christ made his grave with the wicked and with the rich. Look at this. It's a prophecy of what Joseph of Arimathea would do centuries later. Look at that. Now, let's go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. It's very significant that this man who was responsible for the burial of Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea, his legacy is mentioned in all four of the Gospels. And just like we've seen in so many other ways, these Gospels fit together harmoniously. Each one might not tell the whole story, but what each one says is accurate. And you got to let the scripture build up to get the whole picture. Well, in Matthew chapter 15, it says in verse 42, "And now when the even was come," because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath would start at sundown, "Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor." See, we're going to get a further description of this wonderful man. You know, and boy, in so many ways, amongst Jesus Christ's disciples, this guy is my hero, Joseph of Arimathea. Look at the description God gives of him. "He was an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God." You know, this would show that he was anticipating what the Messiah, what the Christ, would come and accomplish. He waited for the kingdom of God. He was anticipating it accurately. So he went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Look at the detail that's given here in Mark. He went into Pilate, how boldly? He craved the body of Jesus. "And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and called unto him the centurion, asked whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph." Again, this is additional information to what was in Matthew, but complementary. Scripture building up. "And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewed out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid." See, they saw how Joseph of Arimathea had buried him in a temporary fashion. Again, this verse 46 doesn't tell us the information that Matthew told us, that Jesus Christ, or that Joseph of Arimathea had this sepulcher made, that it was a new tomb that he had hewed out of the rock. It just tells us that it was there. But look at how wonderful the scripture builds up. This is recorded in Luke chapter 23. Boy, imagine what Joseph of Arimathea did. Was he's the one that literally went to the tree in Golgotha and took Jesus Christ down from it. He took the corpse of Jesus Christ off the tree and carried it and had it put in this new tomb that he had had hewn out for this specific purpose. In Luke chapter 23, in verse 50, it says, "And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the council." He had not consented to the Sanhedrin and deed of them. You know, he was a member of the council. He was a part of the Sanhedrin, but he had not consented unto the deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. He waited for what the Messiah would come and accomplish, that the Messiah would come and bring about the kingdom of God. This man went into Pilate and begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down. He took it down off of Calvary's tree and wrapped it in linen and laid it in the sepulcher, which was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also, which came with him from Galilee, followed after, and beheld the sepulcher, and how his body was laid. They beheld the burial, the temporary burial that Joseph of Arimathea had given the corpse of Jesus. And so they returned, verse 56, and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. So they came, they followed along, they saw how Joseph of Arimathea had given Jesus Christ a temporary burial. And so they wanted to give him a proper burial. So what did they do? They returned, prepared spices and ointments. And then the Sabbath came, and they rested that Sabbath day according to the law of Moses. Boy, isn't this just tremendous information that God gives us about the burial of Jesus Christ. The last gospel, of course, is the Gospel of John, John chapter 19. John chapter 19. In verse 38. And after this, the death of Jesus Christ, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And we know from the other Gospels that after he took the body, what did he do with it? Well, he took it to this new tomb that he had hewn out. He wrapped it in a linen cloth, gave it a temporary burial. He rolled a stone over the sepulcher. When the women saw what he had done, they departed, and they began to prepare spices and ointments for a more proper burial. Now, what follows is the actions of another man named Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came later. Nicodemus did not work in conjunction with Joseph of Arimathea, but Nicodemus worked separately. Because it says, and there came also Nicodemus, verse 39. This is after Joseph of Arimathea has done what we've been reading about. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. Remember that from John chapter 3. Jesus Christ taught Nicodemus about the coming of Holy Spirit. And he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. A lot of spices. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. So after Joseph of Arimathea had given Jesus Christ this temporary burial, then comes Nicodemus and gives him a what they would have considered a proper burial according to the manner of the Jews to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein was never man laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation for the sepulcher was nigh at hand. The reference to the they here is talking about Nicodemus and his servants. Nicodemus and the other women that are mentioned were not anticipating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They gave him a more proper burial, as the manner of the Jews are to bury, thinking that he was going to stay dead. And these grave clothes that he was wrapped in are the grave clothes that the resurrected body of Jesus Christ passed through 3 days and three nights later at the time of his resurrection. But boy, what stands out when it comes to the burial of Jesus Christ is this disciple of Jesus, a rich man, an honorable counselor, a just man, and a good man, a man who was waiting for the Messiah to come and bring about the kingdom of God, a man who's little known, a man who's little studied, but a man who stands out as a shining example of a believer, a disciple of Christ, who is anticipating Christ's crucifixion and thereby had a sepulcher hewed out for his burial, and also was anticipating his resurrection on the third day because of the temporary manner in which he buried Jesus. This man stands out in this scripture record. This man, Joseph of Arimathea.